On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited do you get, Mike, when people ask you to explain the name of the group?
It used to be like a 6 or 7, but anymore it's just more like a 3 to 4. Because how do you explain it? It's kind of explanatory. It's a little clunky, but it's been a long time that we've had the name and we've gotten a bit of recognition from it. And so we kind of keep rolling with it.
And how long have you been with the group?
Me personally, I've been with the group 9.5 of the 11-year history.
And Jessica, what about you?
About 7 years now.
Do you feel that you gained the recognition that Mike spoke of when you joined the group?
A little bit. It's a little different now than when I started. We actually have audiences, which is really great. I enjoy having that audience present, and it's immediate gratification for me.
What would you say that an audience adds to the improv comedy experience?
A huge amount. It isn't just the asked fors that we get from them. An audience at any live performance is like an animal in its own right. And when you're standing on that stage, the way that animal breathes and reacts to what you're doing fuels you. I mean, if the big monster out there is happy, you're happy and you just want to keep going, making it happier and happier. If that monster is silent and comatose, it's really hard to get up the energy to wake it up sometimes. So that audience is very important.
Mike, what would be your reflections on the idea of the audience as animal?
It's very, very true. The trouble is that you don't know which animal you're going to get. Is it going to be a bear? Is it going to be a laughing bear? Is it going to be a snake? What kind of animal are you going to have with you that night?
Banana slugs are especially different.
They're very difficult because they don't move very much.
No.
So when you do your stage act, a typical night, if such a thing exists, might go something like?
It would go something like, I will get up in front of the group and I will tell everybody, hey, this is what we do. We do improv, which means it's all made up and you guys are part of the group. You guys are part of the fun. Interact with us, basically is what I'm asking. I'm saying interact with us. Have fun with us. Give me your thoughts and your feelings and we're going to create something cool for you right now. And then after I've explained all that, I'll introduce the cast of the evening because we have 18 people in the group, but only about 5 or 6 play at any one time. Bring up the cast of the evening, and then we're off and running about an hour, hour and 15 minutes.
So, Jessica, since you're a little bit newer to the group, mm-hmm. what are your memories of the first time that you played games with them? And tell us what these games are like.
The old system was you came in and you did a bit of an audition and then you went through some classes. So my first time playing games with this group was literally the first time I ever met them. And the games, goodness, there's a whole variety of them. There are some which are endowment games in which the audience gives you what you are. I'm an egg whisk and I must convey to someone else that I'm an egg whisk, which is very difficult, believe it or not. And there are other games where you're given something as simple as a location. Or as random as a word. And from that word, that little tiny seed, you have to create an entire scene.
Mike, tell me where these games originated. How did they come into play in your group?
Most people that I talk to are familiar with Whose Line Is It Anyway? The old and now new TV show again. And we lift directly from that model. They're short games. They're sticky type games in that there's usually something from the audience that's very specific. Like Jessica said, I'm an egg whisk or whatever.
But we keep going back to this egg whisk.
Well, because it's a terrible, terrible thing to be.
Do you have problems with eggs, or is that?
I don't like the whisks, actually.
Yes.
Okay. Well, are there rules about things that you've developed within the group that you don't want to do on stage? I mean, are there tricks you shouldn't pull on your improv partners?
You never want to throw your partner under the bus, in meaning that you don't want to give him or her something that you know he or she cannot do. So, like for example. No one would ask me to freestyle rap on stage because I don't know how to do it. So you would try to stay away from that. But in general, if it makes sense in the scene, if you think it's going to work, yeah, go for it.
And you tend to avoid scenes sort of along the lines of throwing someone under the bus where you're the one person who does nothing but ask questions. Because if you're asking nothing as questions as the partner on the scene, the other guy has to do everything. And so one of the rules is that it should always be a give and take. You trust that person. They trust you. Don't stand there just making them do all the work through the entire scene.
Right.
Be there to support each other. If somebody has an idea, you better get right up. Okay, yes, I am riding the bubblegum train to Whosville, and we're all wearing silly hats that say, kiss me quick. You've got to support that moment in time.
And holding egg whisks.
Yes.
So what's on the horizon right now for the group after 9 or 10 years of mm-hmm. performing here in Tucson? Mm-hmm. What is it that you're trying to achieve this year?
This year, we are trying to make the leap to permanence. We have been knocking around Tucson for 11 years in some wonderful local businesses, you know, Rockin' Java up in Marana, Revolutionary Grounds on 4th Avenue, the Sheraton on Grant, these lovely places that have welcomed us into their businesses to bring people to them. But now we feel we want to get to a place where we can draw people to us and grow the audience and grow our craft. And so the big, huge thing on our horizon is getting a theater open. And to do that, we became a nonprofit 501c3. We're raising money, and we're at the cusp of the monetary goal that we need to find, outfit, and open the doors of a permanent theater. And that's the biggest difference between where we were and where we want to be.
And now we'll close the show with Mike and Jessica showing us an example of an improv game that you should really try for yourself. It's harder than it sounds. It's called ABC, and it's a way of structuring a conversation between two people. What's important is that the first word that each person starts their line with has to begin with a letter of the alphabet in order. They asked me where the first line should start, and I said the letter N, as in Nancy.
We are going to play a game called ABC, which means that the first letter of the first word must begin with any letter of the alphabet other than A or Z. Would you give us a letter, Mark?
N.
N like Nancy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Never touch my socks again.
Okay, I won't. Jeez, it was laundry day.
People think just because we live in the same house, you can take rights with my undergarments, but they're wrong.
Quit telling me what I can and can't do in my own house, Martha.
Really? You think a marriage license equates you get to mismatch my socks with every single load of laundry?
Sure do. If you leave your dirty underwear on the floor, I will wash it.
Tell you what, you're gonna get a surprise in your coffee tomorrow, my dear.
Usually I'd be scared, but right now I'm not worried because I'll just make my own coffee.
Very well, but I know where you sleep.